Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. So today in Harrisburg, you've got a number of folks out at the Capitol saying, hey, we need to raise some revenue. We need to pay for stuff. And our friends at the Keystone Research Center, the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, have come up with an idea of how we make sure that we have the revenue we need to fund things like education, like things like health and human services. Oh, I don't know, help take care of the elderly, the poor, the sick, the affirmed, and, our future, which is why I've asked Stephen Hertzenberg to come talk with us. He's the executive director of the Keystone Research Center. Steve, thanks for taking time for us.
Great to be here, Rick.
So what are we doing today? What's going on?
I just left the press conference where Senators Hughes and Haywood and Mark Steer, the director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, and a group of advocates, including the Pennsylvania Council of Churches and various labor and human service organizations, are all introducing this fair share tax, which is a pretty simple but powerful idea. It basically says there's lots of money in Pennsylvania. There's one group that's been doing really well in the past couple decades, the top few percent. They're taxed at much lower rates in Pennsylvania than most places and all of our surrounding states. And there actually is a way under the Pennsylvania Constitution to capture more of their revenue that comes from, like, dividends and capital gain, so not wage and salary income, but income that goes mostly to folks who already have wealth income. So you go get a bit more money. We still have a very fair tax system, too fair, really, to those rich folks. They'd still be paying a lot less than people in the middle and the top, but you get yourself $2 billion, and you can begin to address, Pennsylvania has this investment deficit. We're not investing in schools. We're not investing in community colleges and higher education. We're not investing in infrastructure. We're not investing adequately in healthcare and human services. So you're spot on in terms of we're compromising our future and undercutting our values in terms of being decent to vulnerable people. So this is a really critical step towards getting the legislature to move forward. They've been talking for years about, oh, we don't have any revenue. We can't raise taxes on the middle class. The middle class is struggling. So, and this gets around that. This gets the revenue, basically nearly 90% from the top one-fifth of families, over two-thirds from the top 5% of families, half of it from the top 1%. So no more excuses. We've pointed people to a way to get the revenue we need. And again, as a matter of fact, this particular proposal, because it includes the specifics of it, are the taxes, that income from capital gains, dividends, income from wealth at 6.5% rather than the current 3.07%. But it lowers the tax on wages and salaries and interest, that is, the income of regular people and retirees. It lowers that from 3.07 to 2.8%. So bottom line is 4 out of 5 Pennsylvanians would see either a cut in taxes, more than half, or no change in their taxes, whereas less than 20% of Pennsylvanians would actually see an increase. So this is for regular families, even more so in lower income or moderate income rural areas and cities. This is a complete home run. Revenue to do the things we need to do for our future, and again, in most cases, a majority of cases, lower taxes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. But the rich people will leave, Steve, and we'll have nothing.
Well, I don't know where they're going to go, because even after this increase, the overall tax rate on the top 1% in Pennsylvania will be lower than that in Ohio, lower than that West Virginia, lower than that Delaware, lower than that Maryland, and only a little more than half of that in New Jersey and New York. So if people want to move in order to pay higher taxes in one of the neighboring states, go for it.
And here's the thing. You brought up infrastructure a second ago that we're really not investing. And, right almost where you're standing yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but a bus almost got swallowed up by our streets because our infrastructure is so bad in Harrisburg.
Yeah, and then I was actually late to the press conference because 2nd Street in Harrisburg coming off Route 83 north was tied up, another sinkhole or something like that. We used to be the leading global economy in interstate highways, investing more in research and getting the first man to the moon, and now we're unfortunately pothole nation.
There you go. We're leading the world in sinkholes. It's something.
Yeah. So it's. I mean, people know it's short-sighted. Again, it has been true that struggling people tend to be more resistant to paying more in taxes. But people who are struggling and also feel like the tax system's not fair, you know, so they feel in their gut their corporations aren't paying their share, rich people aren't paying their share. Oh, yes, when it comes to Pennsylvania, they're right? So again, that's why this kind of proposal is so powerful. It really is in the self-interest of most Pennsylvanians. And also, it takes a step towards fixing our upside-down tax system. Again, you want the people who are really raking in most of the gains of economic growth right at the top, you want them to at least be paying about the same share of their income in state and local taxes as the middle class.
But isn't that what we hear from the right? We want flat taxes, Steve. We want a flat tax. Everybody pays the same flat tax.
Yeah, well, they want that when it comes to the income tax. When it comes to like taxes like the sales tax and property taxes, which are the two other key taxes for states and school districts and municipalities, those take a much bigger bite out of people in the middle and towards the bottom end, and the flat tax right wingers don't want to fix that. They're all good with those rich folks paying a much smaller share of their overall income in state and local taxes than the middle class. Again, the numbers are 4%, basically. The top 1% pays in Pennsylvania at the moment, and the middle pays over 10%.
So does this get us anywhere near fixing our structural deficit? I mean, you know, you hear the budget people saying, hey, we've got this gaping hole in our budget. Does this move us? Does this fix it, or does it move it towards fix it?
If they would do this at the level we're proposing, including with the tax cut, you know, a small tax cut for middle class people who get all their income from their wages, $2 billion is sort of enough to get us through this year, and it's recurring revenue, so it helps a lot for the future. It takes a step towards addressing the investment deficit. Again, it's not in the end. It's not just about dealing with the fact that past budgets and past legislatures and governors have kept the budget going with scotch tape and one-time revenues and moving, you know, the next payment for Social Security for certain folks into the next fiscal year, those kinds of games. This will help with that. But the more important thing is it takes a first step towards addressing the investment deficit. And again, in the end, we're still going to be talking about the top folks paying well under half what the middle pay, and you know, it's a starting point in terms of really beginning to think again and invest again in our future. It's not the end of the job. We still need a severance tax, and again, we still need, ultimately, we don't need an upside down tax system. We do need, if we could get what you call a flat tax system, we can get to a system in Pennsylvania where the top is paying the same in share of its income in state and local taxes. That would give us the money we need to invest in the future. And the thing that people always forget is, in the end, it's actually in the self-interest of a lot of wealthy people to invest in the future. They don't, you know, it's not in their interest that we become more like Guatemala,
right?
You know, and that our growth rate spiral down because we stop investing in job creation and innovation and infrastructure and education and college, right? That's in the end, you know, that makes them the richest people in a country that's going downhill and a state that's going downhill. So what we're putting on the table today, this fair share tax, is actually good for everybody in Pennsylvania. And so it's time for, we're thrilled that the Democratic leadership of the Senate stepped forward to support this proposal and the broad coalition of allies we've got behind this. Folks listening need to be reaching out to their legislators, both sides of the aisle. This proposal should be an absolute slam dunk in rural Pennsylvania. Most rural counties, which are almost all represented nowadays by Republicans, have a lower income, somewhat lower income, 20-25% lower income than the urban and suburban parts of Pennsylvania. So, and they don't get a lot of that capital gains and dividends, the kinds of income that we would raise the tax rate on. So, with the partial exception of some of the drilling regions where, you know, there's some royalties which would be taxed at a higher rate, but sort of 40 out of the 48 rural counties, this proposal would benefit up to 90% of taxpayers, or up to 90% that either get a cut in taxes or no increase. So, and they get better funded schools, and maybe, you know, maybe Senator Scarnati's district in the north central region of Pennsylvania can finally get a better funded community college, so that people graduating from high school will have a chance to get another credential and stamp mm-hmm. their way towards a middle class job.
Why would we want that? And why would we want investment where buses don't get swallowed up on one of the capital streets?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, the larger lesson here is, listen, the broader lesson here is there really is a different way to run the state of Pennsylvania, our economy, and our budget. We do have a choice. I mean, the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center helps lead the Pennsylvania's Choice Coalition, and the name of that coalition is all about reminding people that we do have a choice, that this sort of austerity imposed by extreme conservatives and an economy that has been rigged to benefit only the top little slice, that's not the only way to do it. So it's perfectly straightforward as a policy matter to fix our upside-down tax system and actually to fix our wage and income distribution so that, for example, minimum wage workers make $12 an hour instead of $7.25 an hour. So this is just one step towards that economy that in which the rising tide lifts all boats. You know, we can't have that. We had that from the 40s to the 70s. We're richer now than we've ever been as a country, even though we have lots of potholes because we're being so short-sighted about not capturing enough of our wealth to invest in the public good and make Pennsylvania better for everybody. But fact is, we have a choice. And if in the end, if we win that argument, whether it comes to the fair share tax and the budget choices we have, or whether it comes to the broader issue of what kind of Pennsylvania do you want? Do you want an economy for the 1% or economy for the middle class? You know, we got to win all of those debates, but we can win them because there is really a choice. And if people believe that and recover a sense of confidence, I think we can change the direction of the state.
If you want to take a look at the proposal, the fair share tax, we'll get links at therickSmithShow.com of how you can read up on this. And when you call your legislator, have the information right there. Last question I've got for you. What are the chances of this moving through? As you've pointed out, the rural part of the state would benefit overwhelmingly from this. But here's the thing. You've got the Republicans who are the elected leaders of those areas who have taken, most of them, the Grover Norquist anti-tax pledge. So anytime they hear of anyone, any increase in tax, they begin foaming at the mouth and twitching and convulsing. How does that get through there?
I mean, again, I think there's a chance. I mean, the thing is, we do still have both an investment deficit and a structural deficit. They got to find revenue from somewhere. And Mark Steer there's a Republican staffer who fairly recently said something like, we hate PBPC's idea less than we hate the governor's revenue proposal. so, So, I mean, I think there's a little bit of awareness that it is a fair share tax. It is a tax that goes after the folks who've seen their incomes rising rapidly in recent decades. It is a tax that's terrific for the constituents of those rural Pennsylvania Republicans. So, again, folks in the listening audience, whatever you can do to read up on the tax on the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center webpage, www.pennbpc.org. But also, again, being active in your local community and all of these little groups that are rising up to challenge President Trump, but also to challenge the direction of the country. We need that energy also directed at fixing the state and making the right choice at the state level. So, you know, folks could lift your voice, ask your representatives, Republican or Democrat, if they're not on board this yet, ask them, wait a minute, this gets us $2 billion for our schools and essential services and job creation, and I pay less in taxes, and 4 out of 5 people, you know, in your district at least pay less or don't pay any more. Again, usually 3 times as many people roughly get a cut as get an increase. Why aren't you for this? And then when they evade you, ask them again.
You know?
So, I mean, we'll be putting out district level, I think maybe county level fact sheets, localizing the information for people, and, you know, producing maps that have like numbers like the share of people in each county that get a cut or a decrease. We'll be trying to make this very simple information accessible to people, because it really is slam dunk in self-interest of most Pennsylvanians and slam dunk in the interest of all of us, because it allows us to address that investment deficit and invest in a better Pennsylvania for all of us. So that's our pitch, and we're sticking to it.
No, good stuff. I appreciate it. Steve, real good talking to you. I look forward to you coming back with that and filling us in.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Take care.
Great stuff. Our good friend, Dr. Stephen Hertzenberg. Again, you want to check out their website, keystoneresearch.org. We've got links to ricksmithshow.com if I can take a look at all this stuff. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. They saw the food was everything to man. Maybe then they had a thought to help the poorest folks, but it only brought more money.
Con and conservatism. Rick Smith.